We usually have our next guest at this time on the Fan Hotline, provided he's not on the golf course. He's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. He'll be hosting Pitt Football Preview in an hour and 15 minutes with Doran Dickerson. Bob Pompiani, who was showing me a dress shirt with a wine bottle on it earlier.
Yeah. They have some great clothes down in Heinz Healy's where I go to shop for when we do different things. And one of
this
them
is the second week in a row you've given them a pop. You also said last week you wanted to outfit Donnie with apparel from
yes,
there.
I did. They had one with a bottle of Cabernet being spilled into a glass. It's just, number one, for me it was good because I spill stuff all over myself. So if I did it, you would never know because it's part of the pattern of the shirt. There's wine spilled. And so people on social media are putting out there. So now people are making their own wine shirts, and the Pitt Panther mascot has one on tonight. I just got a picture.
For the game.
Well, I don't know about for the game, but for now.
Pomp, I'm amazed by two things. One, as a bald guy, I don't have to think about this, and I just realize you are wearing your headphones in a way I've never seen somebody wear them, but it's because you've got hair to worry about. You've got, like, well-coiffed hair, so that's one thing.
It is coiffed.
Yeah, very much coiffed. Two,
there is a nice coif to it, would you?
Well, I use a lot of product, unlike Rich. He just oh, yeah. wakes up, it's the
yeah.
same.
Rich just gets into a wind tunnel every day. no, and then I was saying this to Pony while you were talking to the masses. Said, Andrew, doesn't it kind of put it in perspective? We're just nobodies compared to you. You walked in the building, and it was like Sinatra walking in. And we're the two guys, the opening act, and there are people who did not acknowledge our existence who were just like, Bomb!
It's a product of being around for a long
time.
You're
the Rolling Stones and we're the
Bomb. You guys are the hot new property, man. You're the hot new property.
Cooper Kupp, do you think they'd give up a second-round pick for him?
You know, I've been thinking about this a lot. Number one, there's a side of me that says because they are where they are, I would do it, given the fact that they have people who...
Okay, that's you. How about them?
Well, wait, but I'm not done. There's two sides of it. That would be number one. They have an opportunity here, and I think in the AFC minus a couple of teams, they could be right there. So that would intrigue me based on his health. That's another concern. And the other thing is, okay, second-round picks. They have been valuable. You know, Zach Frazier is a second-round pick. There have been some good ones that have come along. Do they think it's prudent to trade one of them who could become a starter immediately like Frazier has done and others? And
they don't like the trade first or second-round picks.
Some busts there, too. You know, Lyman Sweet has a list of those kinds of things. So it's just a matter of what they think they are. And if they think they're competitive enough to do it, then...
Okay, so how would you answer it, then?
My answer is no.
Does Cooper...
My answer is no, and the reason is because I think he's just not reliable enough for me. He's a tremendous player, but he had one really good year. The rest of them, before and after, have been okay, but not great. And I don't know what the real Cooper Kupp is. Will the real Cooper Kupp please stand up?
Well,
please
stand up. I didn't think we'd get an M&M reference. I was just going to drop into the line with him, as you say, unreliable health-wise. It's you can't make the club in the tub, bub, like an old Ron Cookism about this. You can't be worth a second-round pick if I look at your last 2.5 seasons and see you've played barely 50% of the games. And, like, I've seen people say, well, some of these are freak injuries. It's not like he's tweaking a hamstring. He's getting his ankle rolled up on. That makes it worse for me because that tells me he's playing a style. He's fighting for yardage. Just the way he runs out there seems to, like, lend itself to him getting in these compromising positions where he could be hurt. And so... I just can't do it. I also, and this will piss everyone off, which is my specialty. Even a healthy Cooper Kupp would not compel me in a one-game do-or-die playoff game to pick them over Kansas City.
Yeah, but
to pick them over
shot.
Buffalo.
It gives you a shot and it gives you some attention taken away from George Pickens. One thing I'll say about him this year: in the two games he did play, he was heavily targeted and he came up with pretty good numbers.
Yeah, so 21 targets in game one.
Right.
Stafford loves him, and I think Wilson would love him.
I think Wilson would love him too.
Is Wilson as good as Stafford would be at getting him the ball? Is this offensive scheme as good as the McVay scheme is at getting him the ball?
Probably not.
Well, here's the thing. For a slot guy or someone who does those kind of routes, in that first game, Wilson and 78% of his throws were 10 yards or less. So if you get it in the hands quickly and put it on the money, I think he can be somebody
All right, Bob,
who can
so
make
he,
things
So here's
happen.
The question about their game tonight. Obviously, we need the Rams to lose because if they win, they're going to feel like they're still in it.
So yes.
He would go off the, I think,
it's ironic, isn't it,
block.
They're playing Minnesota? Because yeah. Minnesota's been mentioned as one of those teams.
And then the other thing Chris and I debated was, if you're a Steelers fan, do you want to see him play well tonight? Because if he doesn't, you could say, well, we can get him for less. But if he does, he might still cost a second-round pick. You'd also, though, have the peace of mind that he came back from the injury and looked good.
Right. I mean, that's a tough question to answer because it depends on where you sit, and I'm sure they...
Well, you're sitting right next to me right now with a nice coffee and, again, the nicely coiffed hair. So how would you answer it?
My question, again, I wouldn't do it just because I think it's too much money down the road. I think they feel like they can draft people who can come in and... Look at their recent draft success, guys who've stepped right into play, and Porter's a second-round pick, technically, even though he's the end of the first or beginning of the second.
Well, then how about the Mike Williams idea?
I'm not sold on him. I think there are others. I heard you say last night on our showdown or on a sports call show about Slayton.
Oh, you've taken that to the sports call.
I mean,
Bob, I'm getting mocked left and right for the Darius Slayton thing, and all I'm doing is providing a reasonable answer to their problems at a price that I think everyone would be okay with because he's going to be a fifth or sixth round pick in cost.
Right. For a fifth round pick, Hopkins would have intrigued me more so just because it's a fifth, but. You know, I don't know. It depends on where they sit. If they believe they are that team that can do some damage here, then I would do it, knowing that you're kicking, you know. I mean, so what? You got to give up some assets once in a while if you're going to do this and play this game. They're not normally doing it, but they did trade a number one pick to get
Minka. It's just funny that they would be making that determination and doing that calculus about we're in it to win it and we have a chance because of their optimism about a quarterback who's still getting paid gobs of money not to play for somebody else. Do you know, like, the optics of that are very strange.
Both guys were sort of cast on. Nobody wanted
him. Wilson's case, they are paying a ton of money in Denver for him to not be there, and it would be wild to have another team say, oh, because we have this guy you literally treated like you're trash, we went dumpster diving for you, and we now think we can win big with this guy in the postseason. That just is an interesting optics kind of thing for me.
I think the Wilson thing, it's one game. I want to see a lot more. I liked what I saw the other night. The beginning was slow, but obviously he got on. He hadn't played in 11 months. I want to see more of him, and I want to see what they can do and what the realistic goal for this offensive pass situation would be.
Was Pitt a big deal in Pittsburgh in the mid to late 70s and early 80s, or were they still an afterthought even when they were ranked number one in winning national championships?
They were a bigger deal than they are right now, and mostly because of what you just said. And they had terrific talents. Tony Dorsett, who was from my alma mater, and I watched him go all the way to where he went. It's unbelievable what he meant and how good he was.
Did they break through that Pirates-Steelers wall, though?
I'm glad you mentioned Pirates because the Pirates at the
still
time.
Still in their heyday.
It was, and it was those two teams. It was the Pirates and the Steelers, and I think in a pro town you're always going to have that problem if you're a college team.
So what do they have to do to cut through then? This year.
Define cut through. What does that mean?
To become like something where he and I.
Well, we're on the sports call. You want to talk about them right off the bat.
What would take it for? What would it take for them to be leading the sports call?
If they win tonight.
Okay.
And if they I'd carry it into tomorrow. If they're 7-0, and they have an SMU team, which is, are they next? I think they're next.
Yeah, they are.
Okay, so they have a chance to do something they haven't done in a while. I think it catches fire. Can it ever supplant what's going on with the Steelers? No, especially if the Steelers are 5-2, looking at 6-2. No. But I do think people start to jump aboard the bandwagon. I do. I think you'll start seeing bigger crowds. And, the Clemson game could be terrific in terms of atmosphere and everything else.
They also fight a unique battle differently. Our buddy Hoagie Pony tweeted this early in the show, and I think Pomp might have an interesting opinion
on it. Happily married, by the way. Congratulations on your nuptials, Hoagie.
Because Lennox has bacterial pneumonia, I could not attend that wedding, but I'm going to figure out a way to send our guy Hoagie something nice. Yeah, I know. Neither here nor there, but yeah. He mentioned that Pitt basketball caught fire, like, in the early, late Howland and then Jamie's years. Like, that was a hot ticket, and they were a big deal. Here's the thing.
Penguins were terrible.
Here's the thing. Well, no, the 08-09 Pitt teams, even, like, were still very popular.
Okay. I got you.
But they really
gained
steam
after that. They gained steam, and they still kept their steam going when the Penguins started to get good. But my point there is, one, a lot easier to pack a place that holds 11-5 or whatever it is, and to have that raucous environment. And two, and this is probably the bigger thing, I know we get the reputation, not a basketball town. People like it, and it was a novelty. Hey, it's the closest thing you'll see to the NBA in this town. It's high-level college basketball.
The Big East.
You know inherently, and I'm not saying this to slag Pitt. This is college football in general. You know you're watching the lesser product, right? Like the less talented version of the thing you love the next day, the NFL. You know that these guys, most of them, aren't going to play pro ball, and so I think that makes it tougher to some degree to get into.
I agree with that, but I also think there is, you know, the excitement that comes from a team that's actually knocking on the door rating-wise and moving up. I know they're, what are they, 19th?
19th, yeah.
19th this week, but they can go and
if
put
they
themselves...
If they win, they'll be like 16th, and if they beat SMU, they'll be very close to
and
the top 10.
And then Clemson could be in a game that would be... And
if they're undefeated going into that Clemson game...
Clemson to be undefeated going into
that Clemson got... Didn't Clemson get
Clemson
hammered by Georgia?
Georgia?
Yeah, they got
cracked.
Talking about
in the conference.
In the conference, yeah. If they're undefeated going into Clemson at 9-0 and Clemson is still a one-loss team... It'll be a battle of probably like 8th-ranked Pitt and probably 4th-ranked
It'll be one
Clemson.
Of the great weekends in
well, let's just hope it's
here,
not a noon start on – well, they don't have Fox anyway. But my point, I hate those noon starts. They got that Ohio – is
Penn
it
State.
Ohio – yeah, I mean, come on.
Pitt-Clemson would be a primetime game, I
think.
I think
Pitt-Clemson might get game day.
What do you prefer?
Happens.
I prefer night games on big stages like that, not noon starts.
3:30, I think, is the absolute perfect spot to
I
put those games.
Chris. Yeah, but if you had a choice –
Noon, 7:30. Yeah, because then I can watch most of the game with the kids in bed, and I'm like,
yeah,
I can just sit there and watch.
My
it.
Wife wants me to do it noon on Saturday.
You can't say like, honey, I can't rake the leaves. It's dark out. Like you can
yes,
use
you
that
can.
As an
I've
excuse.
I've done that as an excuse. I told when Lisa and I got married, I had the bar very low. I said I don't do anything but talk. And if you're okay with that, sign on the dotted line because I don't and I haven't. And I am ashamed of that in some regard. I pick weeds.
So
you
so your strategy in marriage in that sense for like the honey-do list was strategic
Bob.
Uselessness.
Right, and but it's a true replication
did
of what
you ever
I am.
Pull, did you ever pull the stunt where she asked you to fold, like, the laundry and you did such a bad job she never asked again?
No question. I've done that. I've painted badly. I've done a lot of things, and she's now real good at it.
So do you think Pitt will beat Syracuse?
She's the greatest, though. She takes care of all that, so I don't have to worry about it.
Do you think Pitt wins tonight?
I think Pitt wins in a close game tonight, yes. And I think they're going to go to SMU, and I think they're going to win there, too.
Classic ACC
and then
matchup.
Then I worry
there,
about
SMU.
The next game after that because I think there is some possibility that one of those is it
Virginia's Virginia. Next. Virginia's
okay.
After that.
Before Clemson, right?
Yeah.
So that's a game
that's
that could
classic
be trouble.
Pitt game.
Yeah, and that's one that you have to watch. Just like I would think the Giants, even though it looks like on Monday night they have no chance.
They're hideous.
But
you're right.
Daniel
you're
Jones
right.
has been really good on the road
and,
this year.
And Bob makes a good point. Why is the line for Steelers Giants the same as this game tonight? Think about that for a second.
Well, I've seen that, and that makes me wonder too. And I, you know,
they get it wrong once in a while in the NFL,
well,
but
they got
not
it wrong
often.
With Steelers Jets.
Not often, though. Yeah. Like,
no, I'm saying the Steelers should win, but I would not be surprised if that's a better game than people think, or at least closer game.
All right, Bob, where are you down here for the 4:30 show?
It's over there on Art Rooney Avenue, where we always are. So Doran and I, we don't have the.
Has Doran picked Pitt to win every game
you
this year
so
far? You
guys have access to a bar
well, of course
and food.
He has.
We don't. yes, I think so.
Has he? Wait.
Have you picked Pitt in every game?
I picked against them in the Cincinnati game.
Looked like a pretty good prediction for a long
yeah,
time.
Yeah, and I think that was it. I think
how about
that's
West
all.
Virginia?
I had Pitt winning in a close game. I didn't see it the way it happened, though. That was kind of weird. They were down big. I mean,
who was the better quarterback in this game?
Well, see, McCord's older, and I think I've seen enough of him to make me think that, but that's not to say that Eli Holstein is
right.
not in that same, you know, road.
I'm trying to think of who it reminds me of. McCord is better, but, like, if you gave me one guy who I think games on the line is going to take his team down the field, it's Holstein. He's got, like, a
well,
weird –
look at those big plays he's
that's
made.
What I mean. He's got – I'm trying to think of an NFL comp here. It would be like Brady – not Brady going against Eli Manning in a Super Bowl, but kind of that basic vibe of – this guy isn't quite as good as the other guy, but
he's capable
trust
of making
but
play.
He's just like weirdly nails when it matters.
Yeah.
Bob, thank you for coming down.
Real quick question for you, because
sure.
we had this discussion last night. Boston won their first game, the defending champion Celtics. Chris, and I agree with this, too many three-pointers.
Oh
they made
my God,
29
yes.
of them.
I said aesthetically it's awful.
And
it is
so
brutal.
It's going away
it's
from the way the game was supposed to be. And I love the three-point line, but not to the point
they
where they're going to fire 60 of them
They need
up.
A wider court, a bigger court, and a four-point line to space the floor better.
That would be
four point line.
Yes, I mean put it way out there.
Well, Steph Curry's going to win that battle.
Fine, if guys want to hoist 30 footers, make it more worthwhile. But like also, like space the floor a little better. I can't watch it.
Thank you, Bob.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
We'll be listening.
Thanks, Pomp.
See you.